Welcome, everybody, to Capes and Scowls West.
West, West.
This is the December 6th reviews recording episode. We will be talking about Martian Manhunter number 1 and Heroes in Crisis number 3. So with that, Nat, take it away.
All right, we've got Martian Manhunter number 1. This is a 12-issue maxi series written by Steve Orlando with art by Riley Orosmo. Yeah, I was super excited for this. I'm a big Riley Orosmo fan in general. He draws melty people really well. And there's a lot of melting people in this. So this is the story of Jean Jaones in, I don't know the time period, but it is definitely before he becomes the Martian Manhunter we know. So this is a story of him as a detective trying to blend in with human society in Middleton, Colorado, which made me really happy that there's a comic book that's set in Colorado.
Thanks, guys!
Yay!
Capes and Scales West thanks you.
Yeah, absolutely. I loved this. I thought this was a great emotional issue. It definitely had a circularity to it of dealing with the Mars stuff and then the current the climate in our Earth world. The fright foam as an element of the story from what he's picking up from the psychic connections to the murder that he's investigating. This was oddly, there was a sense of violence in this that was,
you think?
A little higher than a T plus rating would indicate, but yeah. And I love Riley's
holes in people.
They're literal,
like,
holes in people.
Not the ones that you're born with.
You can tell that Riley Orosmo's having a blast designing Mars.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
Yeah, like, and there's something I had never thought about was the fact that he was a cop on Mars as well. So he was a dirty cop.
Is that what it was? That's kind of what
It's like maybe not dirty, but maybe more of like a bully cop, like a more ultra-violent.
It sounds like he's got like a boss though, that's not a cop.
Ooh, okay. I didn't pick up on that.
Well, here's the other portion of it. So Cat's review is what the fuck, what am I reading? I don't know what I just, I usually follow things pretty well. This one, I was like, what the shit, where, it, what, it, fuck.
What was it about that was like confusing? Was it just the...
I just had such a hard time following it, and I don't know if it's just because of the writing style that I'm not. I don't know. Like, it's really hard for me to say. I usually follow things really well, but this one I was like, I don't know what I'm reading.
Was it the cutting back and forth?
Like, it might have been the cutting, but I honestly couldn't. The sex thing made me uncomfortable, so that probably was like leftover.
Yeah. Oh, we should probably indicate spoilers all of these discussions.
Yeah, definitely.
So there's a in quotation marks, a sex scene, because the Martian Manhunter, Jean Jaones and Mariah,
something like that.
Meld.
I was waiting for him to give her cab fare, so.
Well, they're like boyfriend and girlfriend, or
I think
they're partners. They say they've been bonded, or what
like
is
that.
What do they
I'm
call it?
It?
Well, and they're having a discussion about having another child, and it's very much like create another child. And
yes,
there was a subtle thing where Jean and Mariah have a specific form that they take at home, but the baby's very much like a blob. Like, it's just a bulbous thing, almost to indicate that your form is your choice, that you sort of, as you get older, you choose what your form is. His form as an officer on Mars is very humanoid, very like bulky, like superhero-y, but at home he's much more what we can, you know, in our culture think about as like alien, like green or gray aliens.
Mm-hmm.
But the baby was just like a blob, you know, like,
yeah,
he's just a thing. And it's sort of, it's cute. And then it also begs that question. Do you make that decision? Which is cool. Just like a subtle piece of artwork to read into the culture of Mars. So,
yeah, I think that was to maybe speak to your being lost a little, Cat. This is one thing I absolutely love in space stuff, is when they do use different terms than on Earth, because that really bugs me. Like in Star Trek, when they're like, we will give you 2 hours to come. I'm like, you're an alien species that just came. Like, why would you know? So I love how, what was it? They called it, it was like, mega cycles or something they referred to as years. Like, all the names are super Martian.
Yeah.
You know, they... So that's really cool. I absolutely love that. But at the same time, it's super confusing because you're like, who the hell are these characters that they're all referencing? You're like, is that a person or a place? Or yeah. Is it like their form?
And I mean, you always, anytime you throw aliens into something, it's immediately like, ah, fuck, I don't like aliens.
And this is all aliens.
Yeah,
like,
it's
like,
all
you're
aliens.
Dealing with, yeah.
And I was like, ah, it's not, and it wasn't bad. It's just my problem is I can't follow it. And that's, and you're right, because yeah. I don't feel like the other part of it is like, if I really wanted to, like, get into this, I would have to sit down and read contextually about what they're saying to each other. And there are some days where Kat just wants dum-dum hit punch.
But look at, like, some of the panels. The dum-dum hit punch is so good in this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's it. The dum-dum hit punch isn't there, but they also have the smart you think.
Yeah. What did you think of Riley Rossmo's art? Because I don't know that you've ever read something that he's done before.
I don't think so either. I don't hate it, but I don't like it. It's like in that weird moot point for me that I'm like, okay, the biggest part of this is it fits for this comic really well, just for how it is.
Patrick, your thought on the art?
I'm not sure if I've read anything by him before, but I absolutely love the art. It's like the cartoonish dynamic in it lends mm-hmm. itself super well to being shapeshifters.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And I actually asked Nat before we were talking, because I was reading it, and I was like, is it just me, or, like, is he actually drawing John Jones in different proportions throughout the comic? And Nat was, he said something like, yeah, that's just Rossmo's style.
Yeah, he does what's best for the scene. So as long as he's staying on model, and the character's identifiable, it's going to be what's the most dynamic shot that can be done. And
yeah.
What it makes the most sense. And in this instance, you have that sort of counterpoint where, since Jean is a shapeshifter, there needs to be no explanation. Like,
yeah,
he can just
exactly.
do it, and
yeah.
it's fine.
So his just natural style lends itself
yeah.
so well to this content that... this is also really fun.
Yeah, I really feel like he's no bullshit in his art. Like, it's just like... this is how it's going to look, and if you're not on board for it, then I don't really care. Don't mm-hmm. read the book. This is how it's going to be. I sense when I look at Rossmo's art, I see a lot of Batman the Animated Series.
Mm.
There's a simplification in some of the line work and character design.
Shit,
that hits.
That's why that was bothering me the entire damn time. I was like, this looks kind of familiar.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, and specifically, there's a panel where he's punching downward, and the straights against curves that he's using look like a Bruce Timm arm. Like, they just have that shape to them. I love Rossmo. I think one of the unsung books of last year was Batman Shadow Murder Geniuses. I think that was an amazing, amazing comic book. And I Rossmo's way of handling the different elements just is really, really interesting to me. I also, as a fan of Martian Manhunter, that his... Manhunter suit, which seems to be like what the police was called,
uh-huh.
or were called on Mars, is a nod to what he ends up doing as his superhero costume on Earth.
Yep.
So it's like it's a proto costume, which is really interesting because it's very odd. It's like a fashion of Mars. It's not
yeah.
something that, you know, we're used to seeing. And it also explains the bug eyes, because I was like, man, when Martian Manhunter becomes Martian Manhunter on Earth, he designs himself after the superheroes he sees, you know, very much like around Superman,
mm-hmm.
and you know, very humanoid in his look, including the eye structure, and this, he does not have that, and it's because it's before all of that.
Yeah.
So it's this sort of, like, coming into it.
Yeah, I'm glad you clarified that, because that was a bit, I was a bit confused about the timeline, too, just because I'm not as familiar.
I'm reading into it as being that story, and it seems
yeah.
that way.
That makes sense now that you put it like that. I just want to throw this out there too. The very end, when they're in the car crash and he's turning into the Martian, and she's
he's
like
melting.
Yeah, and his partner yells, "What the hell are you?" And then you get the title card right after it, so it says a prisoner to the
yeah.
answer to her question. Oh. I love that little subtlety right there.
Oh. And then
the hard part, like I said, the hard part for me with this comic is I'm not saying it's bad. I just. Pace, damn it.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think part of the other thing that kind of I was sitting here thinking about, and not to interrupt everybody, that made me think that why I had such a hard time with it is because it has those space elements to it that I don't need, so I don't under... I don't... my lines don't click as well, if that makes sense.
It does have, like, super big space elements, but it reads so much more as, like, such a down-to-earth, like, solo, like...
It's almost like a detective procedural in a weird way. Like you're seeing the detective investigating, and then we look at his home life, which is actually in the past.
Yeah.
And then he goes back to his partner.
Yeah. Oh, exactly.
So, this is Martian Manhunters, and these are stories.
I don't know, man. Put one Martian Manhunter next to Green Lantern right now, and you have DC Cops.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
What is it, Bad Aliens?
Featuring Ice Cube, hopefully. Or Ice-T. Excuse me.
So for me, Martian Manhunter is number one easy pickup. I think you want to see some creators really taking hold of their own.
And it's a great read for me. It's just one of those things that I'm like, my brain hurts.
It takes a lot.
It's a thinker, but it's a lot of fun for sure.
Cool. Cat?
Cat turn! Because this one is also super highbrow, and I read these first before Martian Manhunter, and maybe that's why I got so blank. So we've got Heroes in Crisis number 3, we've got our writer Tom King, and then we have two artists, which you've got Clayman, who does 1 in 20, or page 1 in 20, which is kind of funny to me. And then you got Lee Weeks, who got the brunt of it, which was he did 2 to 19.
I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No.
It makes me sad that you said 1 in 20, because that means this is a 20-page comic book, because he did the first and last pages. So it's it's less pages than a normal issue. Anyway.
You are totally right. Well, way to depress myself. Well, actually, it's more like, I didn't think about it, but Nat, way to make me think about it.
I didn't think about it either.
For some reason, he's the only person that can draw 9 panels at DC right now, because Doomsday Clock author is... currently on Doomsday Clock.
God, you might be right. Shit. What's up? All right, I'm not going too far into this.
All right. Well,
Kat, what's your thoughts?
Yeah.
Kat's sad. Kat's so very, very sad. Oh, God.
Pat's sad, too.
If you are in a bad, sad mood, do not read this comic at all. Because even if you're in a good... like, I read this in a good mood, and I was like, well... world is dark and bleak and everything sucks.
So the framing device in Heroes 3 is Lagoon Boy.
You have to see there's some of the stories from it. What was it? Lagoon Boy, Wally West, and Booster Gold.
Yeah.
And my heart hurts.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know why we keep ending on this one.
I reading this issue, the prevailing thought I had was, why do we have Barry Allen Flash stories? Why? Because Wally's way more interesting. Wally's the better character. Wally has the better suit.
You know, I'm like, nodding so profusely with you right now. Our audience can hear it in the microphone.
It's just like Wally. There's so much story to tell with Wally, and the fact that he was the genesis of Rebirth was bringing him back, and he's dead now. And I don't
see. And I'm really starting to wonder if he's going to stay dead, though.
I hope not. I hope he kills Barry Allen and he becomes the Flash. You know, like, I don't...
Unfortunately, I don't think that this is going that way.
No, I don't think it's going that way either.
Did you guys... I couldn't decide personally which one was worse for me, Lagoon Boys or Wally's
time in the holodeck,
I'm just going to call it, I guess.
Even Booster Gold, I'm like... walking around, I'm like, I think my heart's on the floor over there.
Yeah,
please don't step on that.
That one was really good. It didn't get me in the heartstrings like the other two did.
I mean,
with Booster, we're watching a psychological break.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
When you can't think of something where a place you want to be, so the conversation is, I'm going to talk to myself, literally, and see my own reflection, and then my reflection is going to talk down to me.
It's not even his reflection. It's a reflection in a cracked mirror. Yeah. Basically, what it is.
And his reflection talks down to him. Yep. Like, it makes his reflections like, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
Talks to him about his hairline.
Like, you weirdly, like, if you can get anything you want in this hollow room, and he wants to talk to himself, but he also wants himself to call himself a piece of shit idiot, essentially. It's such an interesting, like, psychological, like... Oh, wow. Yeah.
See, one thing that I do question from this, though, is... you know, we get our big reveal at the end. I'm actually wondering if this is from a perspective of someone else, though. I do have questions with that.
My initial read, and I've actually reread this book a couple of times, but my initial read was that this is Booster's hallucination, or like his chamber moment, is that once he gets in there, he doesn't know what he wants to do, so he starts having an argument with himself, and then he creates a scenario where he has to save everyone.
Oh, huh.
So he's...
Because the big thing is like with it too, is you don't actually see what hits
any of the other characters.
Yeah, you don't really see it. You see it with Lagoon Boy, and I don't know what that is.
I don't know what that is either. And like it parallels the story that he told where he, Power Boy, I think, gets stabbed through the chest when they're on Teen Titans East.
Yeah.
Or Titans East. There's a big question mark as to what is actually happening. If we didn't get the funeral stuff in other titles, I would question about who is actually dead. Like, I would not necessarily know if it's true.
Well, that's the other portion of it, is it's like, you know, Poison Ivy's there and stuff like that. And I'm like, what?
Yeah, does that back page tell us the last confessionals? Are we saying that all of these people are dead?
Well, yeah, because he had the autopsy of Steel. I know, I remember that, because he, like, pulled his teeth out, and that just...
Yeah.
But
we had the Rose issue in the last issue with the last
Protector,
one.
Just say no.
This is my fourth week.
But, I mean, this is the hard part, is I don't know if like, this part right here at the very end, where Booster Gold is standing in the background looking around to see what's happened, I don't know if that's actually real or not.
Yeah, what happened to the other Booster? He just gets up and leaves?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I assume he just ended his session, but that's interesting that you point that out, Nick, that this might just all be Booster Gold's session that he needs.
The whole time he's trying to concoct a scenario where he can be the hero.
Yeah, and Harley Quinn is a convenient villain.
He mentioned his, didn't he mention, was it Gotham or was it Superman? I think he mentioned Superman because he did something there too.
Yeah.
So
if this is an entirely a hallucination, then we run into some really weird, or not hallucination, but his time in the construct, or the, what do they call the actual room itself? There's a term for it they used earlier in the issue, and
they say on the deck. I remember that. That's all.
The chambers, yeah. So it's a chamber session.
Yeah, chamber session.
So if this is just one long chamber session, then he brought in a lot of characters into it, which I guess, I mean, there doesn't seem to be any sort of rules. But the Lagoon Boy stuff, it gets kind of confusing, because now if it is, then Lagoon Boy is, what's happening to Lagoon Boy is too in line with the tragedy that he's experiencing to himself.
I really hope it's not all just a chamber session.
I hope it's not either. I thought, well, it can't really be, like, looking at the signs, but...
I mean, like, that would kind of make sense, but it also doesn't. But also, I just expect more from Tom King than making it all a dream.
Yeah.
You know? Like, he's not that kind of a writer.
Well, the other part of it is, though, too, is, like, I wonder with a lot of this stuff, how much of it is actual reality that we're seeing from... Like that, yeah. See, and this is where
we could be looking at fragmented views of different people's chambers,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, and we're linking it together because it seems to link, but it's not actually. It's like these are the things that each of these characters needs to experience in order to move forward. So, like, Lagoon Boy has to die. Like, he has to actually have it where it kills him in order to feel anything to move on. And maybe that's still him in the chamber. Because I don't know that we see anybody actually leave their chamber sessions. The alarm goes off to proceed to
Wally
the
starts running.
Yeah,
Wally's the only one.
Is there an end?
He walks away.
We don't
see anybody. Lagoon Boy stops and he walks away.
Well, we don't see anybody
go into it
either.
Yeah.
We don't get an actual... We never get an actual panel of them walking through the door into the room
right.
or out of it. So.
Well, and the fact... So there's a... Booster punches himself. So is it all internal? Like, is it something that gets, like, beamed into his brain so he has the feeling that he's actually making contact with something? Or is there, like, a robot in the room now?
I imagine it's a hard light construct.
Okay, so some sort of, like, some sort of hologram thing.
At least that's what I was getting from it, because that's a thing in, you know, these universes.
Right. Well, and then the hugging of Wally and his kids and his wife, mm-hmm. which I think that Wally's story is the saddest in this because, excuse me, this version of Wally doesn't have those things. That was pre-New 52 that he had gotten married and had kids, and he was locked out of the New 52. So his world that all of these people are based on doesn't exist.
That's why I was so confused. Gone. I was like, what the hell?
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of people like, why does he have children? Like, mm-hmm. Wally doesn't have kids. Wally's not really old enough to have kids. Well, he is old enough to have kids, and he's traveled through time with his children, and he's helped train them as a superhero team. Just all of that continuity's gone. So we're dealing with a meld of continuity, and yeah.
God damn it.
We don't have a ton of time left on this, but we really should talk about Lee Week's art in this book, because it's incredible. This is really a tour de force, like, perfect, easy to follow. The questions are all from the story. Mm-hmm. The questions are never what's happening in the artwork. It's all from the story.
Yeah, it's all from the story, and just all the like, breadcrumbs that your artwork leaves you, and you're just questioning it. You're like, oh,
all the Lagoon Boy panels, like, the way that he uses the trees in silhouette, and, like there's just, it's just gorgeous. This panel of Flash running out and not having, like, a bunch of the lightning and stuff around, just the glow.
Mm-hmm.
Just a great choice for me. The only problem I have, and this is just the artist in me, is I wish that Clayman and Lee Weeks were actually following the same model for each of the characters, because there's subtle differences in Flash, not as revealing or as different. But Lagoon Boy is actually very different looking from the confessionals to what he looks like in the book. Mm. He's much, in the confessional, he's much more Abe Sapien, and in the book, he's much more Miro Rigiri from Magic the Gathering.
Yeah.
Like, he's a much more, like, almost feral version of, like, a merman.
Yeah, now that you mention it, that's totally true.
And it's fine. It's easy to follow. I wish there would have been a hard design that we were following.
The amount of, like, moment-to-moment transitions here, like, the style, like, lends itself so well to this sort of, like, monotony mm-hmm. that's kind of in it. This, like, this heavy, sort of, like, slow-moving, it's a really fast-paced book, but, like, it just breathes.
Yeah, each and he lets each panel breathe.
Yeah, each panel, each page, there's, like, so many story beats, but you forget about it because it's, like, oh, yeah.
Seeing the booster solo shot where he's, like, crying into his hands, essentially. Or like,
oh, my God.
The fingerprints. You can see his actual fingerprints from in the ink. Like, he's actually using the ink to do blending.
Oh, yeah. Wow, and look at that.
He uses it up top near Booster's head as well. And these things, if you have the comic, you know, grab it and just take a look at some of this stuff.
Oh, that's so cool. That gives such a great texture.
Yeah. So, and Sean Murphy is another one who does that a lot, and you'll see it. And when you can pull it out, it's just really, like, it's really fun to see.
Wow, that's so cool.
Different brush techniques in the art itself. So
nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, great book.
Yeah.
Right? It's just, like, heavy. I said, don't, if you're in a bad mood, don't read this. If you're in a happy mood, just read something happy after. Yeah. You'll come out of it and you're like, what is
definitely
this?
What is
happy?
Read this in conjunction with something else.
Yeah.
Because I went from, I think I went Doomsday Clock, then Heroes in Crisis, and I'm like,
that was bad.
I was like, the world's black. There's no hope.
Speaking of Doomsday Clock, listeners out there, stay tuned for our next episode where we will be talking about Doomsday Clock.
Round two.
So with that, let's I'll say bye, I guess.
Until next time.
Yeah, bye.
Until next time.